Rahul Bhatt. My name is Dr. Valen Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrew, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
Yeah, we had that. That's right. That's the book. That tape we sent out right before the Holy Tablet. Okay. Yes. So he couldn't get out. He did it again for himself. And not negatively. I mean, I'm hoping that he's beginning to see how, you know, the ancient ones are working with us. Because in the postgraduate and the Sheikh Daoud versus Far, we put a picture of him in the decorative hat with the six, the upright crescent and the six-pointed star, right, on it, to show that he wore it. And unbeknown to him, he did a Savior's Day, not on the 26th, or February 26th, which is not the Prophet Muhammad's holy birthday, but rather on the 23rd, before the book get out. And it appears with the six-pointed star crescent. Now, never in the history of the fruit of Islam have they ever wore green outfits. Never. Their color is blue, according to teachers of the Honorable Elijah. He talks about the blue uniform, but he corrected, because at one point he spoke about the sky being blue and being an illusion. But he said, but the FOI, we have blue suits, and he left it. And you can read that in the two books we put out from Jalla and Yadan. It's in there. But never, there's no green in their color. However, Qaddafi put out what's called the Green Book a long time ago. Saudi Arabia's flag is green. You know what I'm saying? And of course, Nebi Khidr, or Al Khidr, or Meli Sadat, as it's called, also is known as the green one. Farrakhan had on a suit, the same as the suit I had on when I came here, with the gold buttons and the makeup, the whole bit. Now, the main thing is, we all haven't heard it, I think you should get it. Because if you really listen to what he's saying, and I think he got it to me yesterday, right? No, boy, to me, and I listened to it last night. If you really listen to what he's saying, he said, and I repeat, and it's for him and his father, this is going on today, he said that Allah was created in triple darkness. There ain't nothing to worry about. He got better. He said, when you're outside at night, that's not darkness, that's the shadow. Literally, no two ways about it. He said, that's an illusion, that's not real, that's the shadow. The real darkness is inside the womb where people are conceived. You follow that? He said on that tape, if you're looking for a devil, stop looking outside there. You black people go look in a mirror, and there you'll see the devil. That's not a direct statement of black devil. There it is. I ain't finished, and you can get the tape you hear. He also says on that tape, at that lecture, he says that it's Muslims and Islam, and he says they might not want to be called Muhammadism, but they are Muhammadism. You follow? And he says Muslims, Christians, and Jews, give up those names, because that's what's dividing and destroying us. He said religion is destroying us. He said the real religion of God is obedience. That's not lucky. And that all of y'all are God. And then we proceed to say, is it not written in the law? I said, So, in my view, or my point of view, right, I don't see it as a negative thing. I'm quite impressed by it. And everything he talked about on that tape, up until when he gets to his wanting you to worship some kind of God, and I'll touch on that too, I'm fine with everything else. He got my backing, 360 on it. As far as Reverend Chavez, or what's his name? Coming over, it was after money embezzlement and after female harassment charges in the Christian church. So it's not an impressive move. If someone came over to me carrying that with them, I wouldn't put them on the podium that quick before I investigate the realities of it. So Chavez becoming, you know, joining the Nation of Islam doesn't make them look good. If he would have did that with a clean track record, you mean a fire and brimstone preacher, they would have something, you know, to applaud about. But he just came out of an unsettled case of female harassment as a minister and money laundering, I think $330,000 or something. Right. If that was me, that'd be all over the place.
Right.
If I'm gonna say so, that don't impress me the least. You know what I'm saying? Mainly about the lecture is don't buy the hype. That was all hype. All the screaming and the yelling was hype. Because when you shave away all the hype and all that synthetic support, you get right back down to, he said, nothing that I didn't say before him, Elijah didn't say, Malcolm didn't say, Noble Ali didn't say, he had nothing new to say. And that's the test of the time. We're in a new day and time, so in a new day and time, have something new to say. A bad condition with the same bad information. The information has got to upgrade itself in order for you to upgrade the people. And Noble Drew Ali, as a prophet, had a point, it made sense, and it lifted them to a certain level. Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a point, it made sense for that day and time, and it lifted them to a certain amount of level. You know what I'm saying? Even Clarence 37X, you got it now, don't you? 37X, he had it, and it lifted them up. But now what? We're going to still talk the same stuff? So, and it's obvious, because he didn't say that there's no racism, it ain't about people's color, it ain't about, he's saying our doctrine.
Right.
He even said, get away from that God thing. And when he started explaining God, and I like to comment if you go in and get the tape, he didn't talk about Farad at all on Farad's birthday. Elijah Muhammad's son, Ishmael, Dianetta's son, he did a Farad thing.
Right.
Other ministers did it when they got there one by one. But he didn't. He did not give Farad no props. Because I know he's smart enough, so he can't get around those books. He's going to have to answer those questions and can't. And all the people sitting there had their book in the back of their mind. Not that everybody in their audience got it, but some of them said, I ain't reading that garbage. But the ones that want the truth will sit there and they will listen with that, with those two books in their mind. And two more that's coming out. To create this hype, to put back on that garb that you saw me put on them tapes, and dress like me, you know about that, and wear that upright six-pointed star and crescent, when according to Nation of Islam, you were supposed to represent a certain phase of the moon. And that phase of the moon is supposed to be what they refer to as the new moon, this way. And they were differentiating their crescent and their star, let me tell you, that's my Nation of Islam. From that which Noble Drew Ali brought out, which was there, and they could say, well, his represented him, though, his represented the setting, and ours represented the new. But they didn't have back then a moon like this. They didn't have that. That is not in your book, the upright crescent. I brought the upright crescent into existence before nature brought it into existence. Crescent until after 1970. There's no book, not in your school book, nowhere have they ever saw that. Now, every month there's room for the new upright crescent. Because this is now. And now is then. You understand why now is then? Now is then. Now is then. Because when you say then, it could be then behind you, then and forward, or then the moment. And that's the stuff that's past, and this is the stuff that we have past here.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the day we have.
So there's no reason for Minister Louis Farrakhan to wear an upright crescent that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never wore. And then say you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then you walk in his steps. And you do what he does. And you dress the way he dressed. And you shave your mustache or shave it off or trim it up to be like him. If you follow him, because you see him like the so-called Sunnah as the best example. The Sunni Muslims, those who are wise, try to emulate Rasulullah Muhammad 1400 years ago to the letter. And they call that following his Sunnah or his way of doing things. So now how are you going to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and follower of my Sunnah? But I brought the upright crescent. And on that green hat, my color, you had a 6-point star. You can see it just as clear as day, because whoever was on the camera might have been one of our followers. But he's sitting right on his face. You can see where they put the 6 points on it, not 5. That is not the symbol on your books. That is not the symbol on your pen, your lesson. That is not your national, not your flag, not your pendant. That is known as our symbol. And everybody knows. You know why they knew it? Because they never saw what they referred to as a Jewish star and a Muslim crescent. They never saw it before. The high-ranking Freemasons saw it, and they would approach you on the street and ask you, do you know what that means?
That's right.
And you say, you? And walk on about your business, but they and no one else ever introduced a six-pointed star and upright crescent to Nubians until 1970, when I presented it to the world. As a sign of the ever-living, the living, the true and living God. And they look in the books, and they look, I can say, this is the symbol of the true and living, and I leave you God out. Because I wasn't taking a position until the time is right. And when I say true and living God, I mean, like the brother said, you can walk up to your God and talk to him. You walk up to him and say, I got a question for you, God. They can't do it. They can't walk up to Quran, they can't walk up to Clarence, they can't walk up to none of them. You understand? And if I move on to the next life, then another God steps in place. No such thing like nobody's coming after me because I'm so great, nobody can succeed me. That's not how it works with us. When one Pharaoh steps down, another Pharaoh comes in. That's all God means is Pharaoh. But when we make the declaration that we're God, what upsets you, fools, is you keep on taking our definition all the way from the Ansar of our community. I would tell y'all, stop judging my religion by your religion. Stop judging my interpretation by yours. When you stop reading our book and think you know what we're talking about, fool, instead of just asking me. We say, God, we ain't talking about your God. Your God is, you know, if I said, it's a whim. I'm talking about when you look back at Sumer, when you see those deities on the wall, they were gods. When you look back in Egypt, you see the deity on the wall, they are gods. That's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of God I'm looking at. And that's the kind of God y'all forgot y'all were. And that's what they want to make you think when they say that idol worship. And don't even define the word idol. What is an idol? The word they use in Arabic is mithala, like. They don't even have a word for it. Mithala is the root of the word for idol. What is it? If you idolize somebody, then doggone it, Master Prophet Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad are idols because you all idolize them. You got a big old picture on the wall, bigger than life. So if you take it out of proportion of life, if you made it 1 inch larger than him, then you have now taken it and expanded God. So what's the problem? We don't have no problem with you calling our life Muhammad God. We know he's God.
Right.
We have a problem with you trying to make us worship a spook. Something you cannot prove. Or don't have, we don't have a problem respecting Clarence 37 or 13, whatever you want to call that. But we're not going to worship the dead. You don't worship the dead, you respect the dead. You honor the dead. And only those dead people that did something is entitled to respect and honor.
That's right.
Those that haven't, they're buried with respect and honor, and everything about them is buried. But those who have done something that made a mark, have affected our lives, we respect them. We respect the Mahdi, alayhi salam, and always will.
That's right.
Our Mahdi. Mm-hmm. If y'all don't want to be your Mahdi, then he's our Mahdi. We put him in our bag with the rest of our stuff. Y'all want some Ghulama Akhtar, some Pakistani? That's your Mahdi. That's fine. Y'all want Master Farah Muhammad calling your Mahdi? That's your Mahdi. That's fine. Why we all can't have our own Mahdi? We all got our own shoes on. My foot ain't the same size as yours. And as long as we don't stand toe-to-toe, if all we ain't got no problem. And we obviously, y'all don't want to stand toe-to-toe with me on which Mahdi is right. But I wrote a whole book on how my Mahdi is the true Mahdi. I don't see yours. I had to write a book on yours because you won't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. Is that we are God, and we're reflections of God, and we're in the image of God, and in the likeness of God. If that bothers you, then, hey, you just have to live with your problem. Do things come and go. Get a cure. Get the cavity dug out. Get a shot, but do something. But don't interfere with me, and don't try to get me, because you can't explain to me or prove to me you got a toothache anyway. I know you got a toothache. By toothache, I mean, I know there's stress in what you're teaching, because I can see it in your eyes. I can see the lack of confidence while I watch that tape. I don't watch their taste, but watch their mouth. I watch their taste, and while their mouth is moving, their sound is coming out, I want to see if they really accept what they're saying. If they know what they're saying. And anytime anybody starts talking about God, they don't know what they're saying because they cannot prove it. If I talk about a car, I can prove it. If I talk about this unk, I can prove it. If I talk about the compass and the square, the actual compass and the square, the actual unk, the actual car, I can prove it or take you to one, and if I can't, I'll make one. Those are the principles of being confident and being in truth and being right.
Right.
But not when I start trying to convince you that you are wrong if you don't believe in some unseen God. And give you a complex and try to make you feel guilty because you're the kind of person that says, I don't mind you look good feeling that way, but I'm the type of man that wants to know. That may, I'm a different kind of being. You can call me the devil, you can call me anything to make you feel comfortable because I want to know. I just want to know. Is there anything wrong with that now? You talk to me about Allah. Tell me about Allah. Can you explain this thing to me? Don't say God the creator. Forget all that. And the worst thing you can do is run over to the Quran, a book written by mortals, if not written by mortals, recorded by mortals, stored in the subconscious or conscious mind of mortals and human beings who are all imperfect, like you said, a wobbling planet, a wobbling mind. Your mother ain't gonna go to the Quran and say, listen, the Quran says, Allah said, of course. The Quran was written for people like you that want to use the word of law. Of course the Quran is going to back up Islam. You go to Jehovah's Witnesses, they do the same thing. They got a whole bunch of books that back up Jehovah's Witnesses' junk. What about the universal truth? The universal truth would be to strip the name of law and tell me the meaning of it. And your scholars can't even do that. El Ilah or El Lahu, or they don't even know what it means. You asked for the other day, some 5%. I believe in Allah. What does Allah mean? He said, huh? The word, not, you know, not the attribute, the word itself, that being attributed to the being of force, the source, the person, or whatever, or the box of cookies. Whatever it is that you're calling Allah, what does the word first mean? They can't tell you. Muslims are bismi Allah, and they say, what does Allah mean? The God. What happens if the Germans never created the word God or good? Then what would you say it means? The Duke, the French, the Dios, the Spanish? What would you say, man, that we didn't get all these other languages? Drop everybody else's language, brother, and tell me what Allah means. Now, what would happen is, if he could speak the Arabic language, he would start giving you a commentary of Allah in Arabic. That's the only way you can explain Allah. Because Allah is an Arabic word. You can't explain Allah in Arabic word in English. You would be translating. Your bottom is you'd be moving away, trance. You'd be going away from it. transit authority. You understand? You be going away from it because you cannot capture the actual meaning. You follow?
Yes.
So now don't be trying to pull me in and make you think if a person don't believe in God, then they're a devil. The person don't believe in God, brother, don't believe in the devil either. Don't understand that. They come together. Because you wouldn't even know there was a God unless there was a devil. Because there'd be no purpose for your God if there was no devil. So y'all need the devil as bad as y'all need your God. Because what would a religion be without the devil? What would be the purpose of Islam if there was no shaitan? What would be the purpose of Judaism if there was no hasatan? What would be the purpose of Christianity if there was no dragon? You follow? So you ask the Muslim, do y'all need the devil? You better have the devil, because if you don't, you have to close your mouth and stop Mecca. Because the whole purpose of going to Mecca is to Audhu billahi min ash-shaytan. So shaitan in everything you say. In your salon, you're praising shaitan. When you eat, you're praising shaitan. I don't want shaitan to take my food. You follow? Not only wimp, we don't say God is a wimp, only God and the devil is a wimp. That's a wimp club. And all these folks, they get locked in one world ideology and think you got a monopoly on the whole world, got a big problem. Meaning, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is nothing but one ideology on the planet. You don't know nothing about the depths of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Zoroastrianism and a million other philosophies or doctrines or religions. It don't have nothing to do with your concept of belief. You only sound powerful because you're in a country that was owned and ruled and lived on by a group of people called Washita or Tulip from the ancient Almanac, Nevada, who did not believe in that God. And the Christian concept came over here with, people who were Portuguese brought the Christian doctrine over here and spread it there. And then later on, Judaism came over here. And then later on, Islam came over here. But the indigenous people of this land, the native of what they call Americans, didn't know nothing about your God. And got wreckage that the Almanac was existing 900 years before Christ. Here, right on this land in America, 900 years before Christ, they're digging up heads right now in Mexico called Amaxalan. And there they find traces of a people that look just like you before the year 570, when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was born. Before Jesus was born. You understand that? We got a life and a culture that goes back way before that. We were called Moors by race. Way before Moor was synonymous with Muslim. They were Moors before they were Muslim. They were called Morenos before Muhammad was even born. Or Moors, the French way, before Muhammad was born. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere along the line, Islam bit its way into Moor. And now you got a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm a Moorish scientist, and raising their hand for an Islam. Don't realize that Islam is taking away from the greatness of being a Moor, because Islam was born in Arabia amongst Hindus and Turks calling themselves Arabs. And there was no Middle East. Look at the map again and then say Middle East. A short closer. Say it. No, I don't say the word. I mean, think about Middle East. Where is that? You do it. Go to a blackboard anywhere and do this, make a comment, and put Middle East there, right? How can you be a Middle East? If this is west, and this is east, and this is north, and this is south, how can this be the Middle East? Now, we know of a thing called the Far East. That's the Far East. This would be the Far West. This would be the Far North. And this would be as far south as you can go, as far west as you can go, as far east. But there's no such thing as the Middle East. There's no such thing as an Adam with natural roots. You will not trace Adam to natural roots. You'll trace the people back to a man called Joktan, which will go back to Hebrews, but you will not find Adam as a race. The word automobile means automobile. And the word with Adam means to roam about, to move.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist. There was no such thing as Saudi Arabia. That oil over there is ours. Our land extends from California to where? The Persian Gulf. There was no split. There was no red or green sea. That's a natural threat. That Atlantic Ocean did not exist. I showed them all that back in the Norfolk. All those pieces fit right back in, straight on down through South America. There's no such place as Puerto Rico. That just means that when they got there, he said, that's the richest port I've ever seen. So how now are you going to say that Puerto Ricans are poor people, and Puerto Ricans are minorities, and Puerto Ricans don't have nothing? And when you say Puerto Ricans, you're saying they're rich. Simon Amorite says, you Puerto Ricans, he's saying, you people from that rich port.
That's right.
You say, well, what happened to the riches? What happened to the people of the port? I tell you what happened to them. They took it. Fake Puerto Ricans. Spaniards, Spartans took it. Took the image of the Moors. Because we had Moors in Morocco, Moors in Spain, Moors in France, Moors all across Europe. Moor was what they called you by race. That had nothing to do with being Nubian. Had nothing to do with being Muslim or Hebrew. Moor described your race. Moreno. Black. People from that black soil. Quran says it. Man was created from the dust of the ground. So every time they try to change the meaning of Nubian and say, well, Aswan, from the word Aswan, black, does not have anything to do with the people there. It has to do with the soil of that place. Well, fine, because the people in that place, who walked in that place 5.1 billion years ago, walked alongside of dinosaurs in that place and left their footprint in that soil. And if your doctrine, meaning the Torah and the Quran and the New Testament, right, that man was shaped from the dust of the ground, then it was the black dirt of Aswan. It shaped the skin of the man anyway, so it still covers the man. You are more. The Morris Science Temple is related to it from a Islamic standpoint of view, from a Moroccan standpoint of view. Bringing out a Moroccan flag, not a Morris flag. You with me? The Moroccan flag is red, with a green star of Solomon. The sacred seal of Solomon came into Morocco by way of France. That's where the word Moor, M-O-O-R, comes from. That's the French way, Moor. You don't know what they were called in their language. Because if I walk up to you and you're from the Morris Science Temple of America, who have a nickname that you didn't add on and change into, which is your prerogative, and ask you to speak the language you spoke when you was a Almack, or speak the language you spoke when you was a Washita, or speak the language you spoke as a Tunic, you can't. And Arabic is not that old. Arabic goes back again into biblical languages. Arabic again goes back into Genesis 10. And we know that that is two verses away, or two chapters away, from the Imaginish. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 give you the Imaginish, and then the, what they call the most eloquent writing, the Gilgamesh Epics, which covers the Noah's flood, which is from the fish doom. And then you got to go 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you start talking about Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian, and then you got to get into 11, you start talking about Chaldean, and not once do I mention Arabic, because Arabic is a dialect. of assurance. Your Bible? So y'all gotta get that back too. A ball, but that's a Jewish star on there. The six-pointed star ain't no Jewish star. Someone lied to y'all. And you lied to yourself. Because you told me that David was a Muslim. You said Dawood in the Quran was a Muslim. So now Dawood is a Muslim. When you saw a brother from Ansar Allah with a six-pointed star and crescent on his hat. And that star is known as what? Morgan? The Star of David. Then why would you tell an Ansar, why are you wearing a Jewish star? That was a confession that David was not a Muslim. Plus, nowhere in the books of the Old Testament does David ever refer to himself as a Muslim. Now you say, well, Abraham named you Muslim. That's Quranic again. That came up between the year 610 and 631, because Muhammad died in 632. You cannot go to a new book and tell me about old things unless you tell me this book is an old book being retranslated. But you're not saying that about the Quran. You're saying it's a final revelation, something revealed for the first time, when 99% of it is obviously not the first time here. Everything from prayer, walking, talking, eating, sacrificing, circumcision, and everything else was taken out the Torah. But because you claim that it wasn't, and that this is a revelation to Muhammad from cover to cover, and you put yourself in a bad way. Because you got to then show me, not in the Quran, show me in the Tanakh, in the Torah, where Abraham called himself a Muslim. Show me in the Torah where Moses called himself a Muslim. And if you say, well, shalom is the same as salam, then why did y'all create salam if shalom already existed? Shalom aleichem was good enough. And I talked to each other about that one second. But they didn't even know this. But I'm tired of hearing it. What does assalamu alaikum mean? What does it mean? No, it doesn't. The word alaik means what? On. Alaykum means on you all. Alay is not through you. It's not in you. It's on you the way that farbush or that tahiyah or that imma is on your head. Listen close. But it's simple. But it was tricky. Some demon got into the game. Understand?
Yeah.
If I say to you, salam, peace, alaykum, I'm saying peace on you. I'm not wishing you peace. I'm not sending peace through you. The peace is not feeling in your heart. The jizz is not in your body. The ras is not in your head. It's out of the ras. Out of jizz. On the body. So when Muslims greet each other, it's a subtle trick. That's why I got shalom out of it. Rahu back in. Because I say to you, assalamu alaikum. The peace be on you. You don't need peace on you. You need to be in a peaceful state. Wa alaikum salam. And on you peace. Or ma salam. With you peace. With, like, with ma in Arabic. It's not with, like, in your character. That's anger. That's whip like to accompany you somewhere. May peace walk beside you. Maybe that's why so many of y'all get hit by a car. Because you get hit and the peace gets away. From the renewal. How come nobody in all Islam has stood up and said, you know, assalamu alaikum does not really mean anything. It's to help you. Just means peace be on you, on top of you. Like I put a glass on a Taravisa table. I put a book on a desk out of my desk. Is that real? If I put the print on the book, it would only be on the cover. So you could, if you say, Al-Haq, Al-Quran, the truth is on the Quran, you would not be saying the Quran has any truth. All that. Now, if you read Surah Baqarah again, the first couple of verses, you're going to see that Allah, 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 Allah will be him. A seal on their hearts, but they translated it in. Deception, hype. Everybody knew we were coming.
That's right.
Nobody knew when. Everybody knew this day and time was coming. They were calculating, and we were calculating. And we are the best calculators. Because we have worked it out. You follow? So that is not no Moorish flag. That is a Moroccan flag. Unless the Moors you're talking about are Moors that fall under the government of Morocco after the 17th century when that flag got there. And when Dus Ali, you follow? Was teaching Knows you are Ali. Dus Ali was not using a Moroccan flag. Because also Marcus Moses Garvey was also taught by Dus Ali. And Marcus Moses Garvey introduced a red, black, and green, which was originally black, red, and green. The flag as found in the Sudan, the flag of the Mahdiya, with a spear and a crescent. That was the flag, black, red, and green. And all of your revolutionists throughout America, by whatever group or sect, are popping up the Mahdiya flag and don't even know. They got all these, black monkeys, all these red, black, and green flags, all of this snatched off. The spear and crescent would symbolize the warriors of the Hadid Dawa tribe that came down from the north to defend Sudan from Lower Egypt, actually, because the Mahdi was from the Hadid Dawa of Dunawa, a place. That was a place. So if I'm called Dongalawe, that's a name after the place. If I'm called Nubian, I'm named after the place. But what am I by race? More. What is my nationality? More. If you're going to be anything, you're going to be an Afro-American, be a Moorish American. At least they got that part right, but they got to separate that doggone Islam from it. Because we go back before Islam. All the pharaohs were Moors. And if you go to Europe and you read in any of their books in Latin, you follow? And don't let them, we got to stop letting them call Moorish brothers Latinos. Who's not speaking Latin. You gotta get away from that too. Y'all, another one of the Roman tricks. Like Negra and Negro, which I showed y'all in the Bible. The Greeks were calling us Negroes. If all that, the Romans were calling us Moreno. Jesus was called Moreno. You know that in most Latino families? Because the mind has been a mess with, the parents would tell them, don't be no lazy Moreno.
That's right, that's your tongue.
That ain't no different than your mother saying, don't go hang out with them low-life niggas. The same principle. But somewhere along the line, they made more synonymous with low-life. And we gotta reinstate that. But we gotta make it clear to the Moorish Science Temple, we are your brothers, but only as far as the truth.